All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Guy Mitchell, and he's written a book, The Great Global Warming, The Great Deception. Dave, you were saying, Dave from Mequon, quickly.
In that same year in 1911, you can look this up, France had over 41,000 people die from the heat in that summer in 1911. And NASA recently just came out with a report, I think within the last year or two, showing that with higher CO2 levels, actually the Earth is getting a little bit greener. And food production has gone up exponentially, which is actually a good thing. And matter of fact, one could argue having a little extra CO2 has been beneficial in the fact that if you look at the oceans, which have a much greater concentration of CO2, the biodiversity is much greater when you do have higher levels of CO2. How do we know this? Look at when we build greenhouses to grow food. And there's a reason for that, because the food grows quicker, gets and it ripens quicker, and everything else. So there is a plus to have a little more CO2, and it does not correlate to your guess. Based on the fact, when I look at what's happened historically with the Dust Bowl years and other earlier part in the century, even in the 1800s, and if you even go back further in time, the temperature has vacillated quite a bit throughout that period of time, even with lower CO2s. And now that we have higher CO2, it's the same thing.
All right, Dave. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, and so to respond to Dave, I just I looked up your statement about ocean biodiversity. It says on Stanford's website, ocean biodiversity increases exponentially with sea surface temperature up to about 20 to 25 Celsius. But then it says beyond that threshold, biodiversity drops off due to the limits of aerobic metabolism. So, I mean, if theoretically speaking, if climate change, if there's a larger number of CO2 in the atmosphere and that would increase temperature, it would reach a certain point where it actually negatively affect the oceans, because past 25 Celsius, it negatively affects the biodiversity in oceans. And so, looking at the graph that we had looked at earlier from University of Alabama in Huntsville, it's saying that, it's saying that global warming, or at least the temperature, temperature of the troposphere is increasing. And so that's all I would want to say in response to that.
So Guy, what would you suggest what we see with our eyes aren't lying to us? Those of us who've been around a while, we know there's something happening, something that is very serious and must be addressed, and the nations of the earth, for the majority of them, agree that these things, not that Joe Biden himself is the arbiter of saying that there's global, global warming. He's not saying that alone.
And one more thing, I went to science.org, which is a reference from the NASA chart that I had referenced earlier. And this is a study with tons of other references. And it says that the IPCC isn't alone in its conclusions. Greenhouse gases are accumulating in Earth's atmosphere as a result of human activities, causing surface air temperatures and subsurface ocean temperatures to rise. The American Meteorological Society, Geophysical Union, and the American Association for the Advancement of Science also have issued statements about this. What do you think is their intention behind doing this? If it is something that is fraudulent, why would these organizations referenced here, right? And it also includes a statement that this hypothesis was tested by analyzing 928 separate abstracts.
So Connor, let's let Guy respond. Guy?
It's all about the money, Connor. If you want to understand the motive behind promoting the global warming, the fraudulent global warming hypothesis, it's all about the money. In 2004, when former Vice President Al Gore and a partner from Goldman Sachs named David Blood formed Generational investment management in London, England, the worldwide carbon trading market had a value of $10 billion. In 2019, the worldwide market for carbon trading was $210 billion. At the end of 2021, it was around $800 billion. So if you want to understand why people are promoting this fraudulent hypothesis, you can follow the money.
Carbon.
That's what it's all about.
Are you saying that fossil fuel is not about the money?
I'm saying that, no, I mean, come on. Yeah, I think the issue, unfortunately, has transformed from a matter of science to a matter of politics. You know, look what's happening in Europe right now. You want to know what less fossil fuel consumption looks like? 2 days ago, the EU theoretically agreed to try to cut gas consumption by 15%. And a couple of the recommendations that they were making was, well, let's set our air conditioners at 77 degrees in the summer and 64 degrees or something like that in the winter. I got news for you. In 2021, 60% of the electricity generated in the United States was generated from fossil fuel plants, from gas and coal-fired plants, 20% from nuclear, 20% from alternative energy sources, 13% of which were wind and solar, and 7 hydroelectric. So even if you said we want to eliminate fossil fuel combustion and electric power plants, it would take decades to do it. So, and the reason is you can't replace. And by the way, what happens when the wind doesn't blow, which they've had problems with in Europe, and clouds obscure sunshine? Your alternative energy sources like wind and solar are not reliable.
Yeah, but fossil fuel has a limited time. You're going to eventually run out of fossil fuels. You're not arguing that point.
Well, no. I mean, everything's finite, including you and my life, and I'm older than you are.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm not an opponent of the employment of economic, efficient sources of energy. We haven't even talked about nuclear. France generates over 80% of its electricity and has for 40 years from nuclear power plants. And the last nuclear power plant to be approved in the United States was in 2012, and it had been 30 years since one had been approved before that. So, you know, we just need to be sensible about our energy policy. There's fossil fuels do not cause global warming. Now, that doesn't mean that one shouldn't try to develop alternative energy sources.
But again, Guy, that's your opinion.
I mean, that's
of
not
course
even,
it is. And,
that's
and,
not,
that's
not
and by
opinion.
The way,
it's just not it, evidenced through any of the evidence that I've pulled up here, through anything in which you've said. It's just not
Connor,
true.
I hate to tell you this, but NASA, every organization you quoted depends on government funding for their existence.
I mean, every single person that's alive depends on funding and has objectives. Like, even from your perspective, right, there are tons of conservative think tanks that have been created in the past 100 or so years.
I didn't receive $1 of financial support from any outside source.
Yeah, but you receive money from people purchasing
and writing
your
book,
though. That's the thing.
Oh, listen, let me tell you something. When I wrote this book, my objective was not to make any money, and so far I'm right on budget. I'm not going to make any money.
How do you not make?
I've had to self-publish it. You're not going to get anybody. You're going to get a major publishing house to go against the consensus? No way. I mean, and that's part of the problem is, you know, people have drunk the Kool-Aid, and they will not look at the science.
No,
they won't look at the temperature databases. You look at it and see one set of facts, and I see another one, and that is it's been 0.013 degrees centigrade per year, which is in the within the measurement margin of error. And so there's enough ignorance to spread around here.
Yeah, but
so,
that's simply not true. Like in the graph itself, it says 2016 0.
You're not looking.
Celsius.
You're not reading the graph right, buddy. Look at
the temperature
period.
Of the troposphere
so,
in 2016.
So hold that thought, Connor. Hey, guy, I want to thank you for two things. Number one, for showing up, having this conversation with our listening audience, a great debate, and also for having, the intestinal fortitude to have a dialogue and a conversation. Most people don't. And you've been more than cordial in the conversation. I want to thank you. We'll extend the invitation to you again soon.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Earl, and I appreciate it. And I understand there's a diversity of opinion. If you want to read The Other Side by Global Warming, The Great Deception, it's on Amazon.com in either ebook or paperback, and hopefully if we can get it figured out on the hardcover.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, man. Great conversation.
All right, Earl.
All right,
have a good
thank
day.
You. Connor, the brilliant Connor. The scientists, man, just brilliant, Connor, and great, man. People, I tell people about how brilliant you are, and you just, anybody who was listening just realize that, man. Thank you, as always. Could not do the show without you. You're a great addition to this program, to this radio station.